Welcome to the Fuller Market Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 22nd of August, recording at 8 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. It's been a choppy week here. Stock markets, though, mostly under a bit of pressure, although pretty good rally today in both the European stock markets and also Wall Street as I speak. Now, other developments here, the dollar, which had been quite firm for, well, in recent weeks, took a big hit yesterday, but is clearly firmer here. Here today, it's regained much of the declines that we saw yesterday against the euro and on the dollar index, less so against some of the commodity currencies such as the Canadian dollar. And precious metals had a big rebound off their lows. They're down in here today with the dollar stronger, but they're not giving up all of those gains by any means. For instance, now we've got an hour and 15 minutes before these markets close, but platinum, which gained I think at least $95 yesterday, is down 18 as I speak. Gold bullion is currently at 8.22. And what else to mention? The agricultural commodities, well, they were big gainers yesterday, as were the industrial metals. They're all down a bit in here today. So we've got choppy, nervous market conditions, and we've certainly seen that for some time, and it's going to persist for a while. Now, in terms of global stock markets, I won't pretend that we're out of the woods in terms of the risks. That would be very, very foolish indeed. But for those who are willing to take a long view, I think that there are a number of really interesting situations in terms of fuller money themes. Now, this may be a limited of limited comfort to people who already hold positions in those markets, unless they bought them quite early on in the cycle and still have substantial gains. These are some of these vehicles in markets rather have been favored very strongly by us since 2003, but new subscribers who've come in during the last year or two and have held off when markets were more expensive or beginning to deteriorate, who are interested in looking across the valley of this downturn towards the next big recovery, could do a lot worse, I think, than look at my three favorite emerging market, Asian emerging market stock markets, and those are India, China, and Vietnam. Vietnam, and all have been mentioned frequently by Fuller Money. We continue to review these. All I would say at this stage is that while some risks still exist to the downside, chances are that Vietnam has bottomed. China, much more chancy, but it's seen a huge downward move. India, maybe 40% chance that we've actually seen an important reaction low there. But more importantly, those are just guesses on my part. More importantly, the valuations have come way down. Some very experienced people in this field, such as Mark Mobius of Templeton, really do like these markets. Now, I notice that Christopher Wood of the old Greed and Fear report is now quite bullish of India, feels that India has the best central bank in the world. What he's basing that on is the fact that India has tackled its inflation problem. And Mark Mobius is talking about Vietnam, as we've talked about Vietnam quite a bit recently. I point out that all these markets are high beta. That goes with the territory. But for those, as I say, who are willing to look beyond the trough of this economic slowdown and think 3, 4, 10, 20 years down the road, well, I think that some outstanding gains could well be on offer. So again, India, China, and Vietnam, of which Vietnam would be the highest beta of all, because it's a less mature market. Government is still on a steep learning curve, but it's following the model established by China, and probably be a softer version of that overall. Vietnam is, as I've said before, is a major beneficiary from in terms of some of the industries that China is losing because it's no longer quite as competitive on a costs basis as China moves upscale in some of its assemblies and industry projects. Vietnam has abundant resources. It has a gorgeous, so far unspoiled coastline, so it's a popular tourist destination. It's going to be certainly one of my favorite areas over the next few months. Now, with all these markets, I'm sorry, I've still got to carry on from that scratchy throat, so this is going to be one of the shorter Friday audios. To spare you too much coughing and hemming and hawing, but I'll do the best I can here. Now, the time to buy these markets is when they have seen very significant setbacks and the valuations are much lower. That's the case today. The time to sell these markets, and this should really be a template in all of our minds, not just yours, mine as well. The time to sell these markets is when they have done spectacularly well, and let alone seen those parabolic upward accelerations that cause everyone to be hugely bullish. That's the time to be taking some profits, or at least to be introducing trailing stops on positions that you hold. And as I just said a moment ago, conversely, the time to buy them is when they've been beaten down and everybody's terrified and people have been piling out of these sectors. Now, it's not too hard to understand which of those conditions applies today. These markets have really been beaten down, with Vietnam and India perhaps beginning to recover, but we should be cautious in that respect and think in terms of some lengthy base formation development. And if some of the more bearish forecasts for Wall Street prove to be correct, then we'll see them and see them dragged lower as well. But again, where are they going to be 3 or 4 years from now, let alone 10 or 20 years? I would maintain that in an uncertain world, that their potential is as good as any. What about some of the more developed markets where we've got the problems of slow growth in Europe and also in the United States? But in Europe, we see valuations much improved. Not a favorite area of mine by any means in terms of investments, but these markets are no longer expensive. In the United States, I tend to favor the big international companies. Owen's done a feature here today, incidentally, on some of the healthcare industries, which are showing some good good relative strength right now. I don't know if I'd be paying up for any shares in this environment, but I'm always interested in markets that are showing relative strength when we are looking for evidence of a market bottom. Really, anybody who looks at the technical picture for these stock markets will come away saying, well, we still have a majority of overall downward trends. The financial sectors have really been beaten down, but are not showing the sort of steady relative strength and or steady recovery and relative strength that we would expect to see in an unquestionably bullish environment overall. So again, short-term and perhaps medium-term risks persist in all these markets, but they're a lot better value than they were. Returning though to fuller money themes, the resources sector. I like the big industrial miners. We've always said about to the likes of Rio, BHP, BlackRock World Mining. I illustrated those yesterday in comment of the day, or put up charts, I mean. These have come back a long way, and they're outstanding long-term investments, in my view. They are among the key participants in the global in global infrastructure development, and that's going to continue. I think for a very long time. Obviously, that process slows or is even interrupted as recessions occur and global economic slowdowns occur. But even the battered economies of the West, the United States, for instance, needs massive infrastructure development, and it will get it. I'm sure that the next administration will be doing well, guiding a lot of infrastructure development as part of its program to cushion downside risk in the U.S. economy and to lower unemployment and to improve the United States prospects in terms of developing its own competitive industries and increasing exports generally. So again, I think the demand on resources is going to be absolutely enormous. I like the big miners overall. The commodity sector generally is interesting, but having been the last to be hit during the global sell-off, I would be extremely cautious about these markets in the short term. For instance, everyone piled into commodity stocks late last year and during the first half of this year. I think that they remain very interesting over the longer term, but a lot of these trends had accelerated to the to the upside and are likely to well, they're vulnerable in the event of further sell-offs in global stock markets generally. I'm thinking of some of the oil investments because crude oil is in a what I think is a lengthy medium-term correction, probably of two up to, could easily be of 2 years, perhaps perhaps more. And I think also that we will weather subject to weather developments that we will not see the sort of spikes in agricultural commodities in the year ahead that we saw at the beginning of this year. So again, I think as a general template that any sector that does unbelievably well, and it'll show a parabolic acceleration on the upside once that consistency pattern has been halted, once an overall loss of momentum has clearly occurred, we can expect significant and lengthy pullbacks. That's the nature of markets generally. What about other sectors in here now? I'm moving on to other asset class categories. Long-dated government bonds. And they have surprised me with their strength overall. Surprised me because there's a lot of supply, the yields aren't really very attractive, but all those concerns have been overridden by the recession fears that are in the market today. And then central banks, not least the Fed, are keen to See yields go down, lowers long-term interest rates, that offers a cushion to the economy, it helps the banks to recapitalize through the yield curve. So these long-dated government bonds remain steady in here. But as the next global economic recovery proper gets underway and the next bull market in global equities gets underway, I think we will see those bond markets sell off very, very significantly. But right now, the slowdown and recession fears dominate. That's a drag on equities generally, and it's a tailwind for these long-dated government bond prices generally. Now, in terms of currencies, there's a lot of bullish talk regarding the US dollar, and that's not surprising. The dollar's had a good run here in the last couple of months. My view on this is that it has certainly confirmed a medium-term floor under the US currency, but it also looks quite overextended here in the short term, and I have a lot of doubts about the ability of the dollar to sustain and this move overall, but I will be guided by the technical action overall, and the immediate picture, as I say, is one of an overextended dollar, which has lost some upward momentum and is due for this at least this consolidation. Now, as I watch that on the charts, if the dollar starts to drift back down into its previous trading ranges, that would suggest an upside failure and a lot of additional ranging and perhaps even tests of the lows against some currencies. I don't like the long-term fundamental outlook for the dollar. Have a look at a couple of articles that I've posted from the Wall Street Journal today and comment of the day. But then the opposite view to that is that in a period of overall credit contraction and global economic slowdown, that will mean that interest rate differentials will fall, so the dollar will look less vulnerable on that basis. Repatriation of capital may well boost the dollar. I think that's a weaker argument. I think the dollar bull arguments, I'm saying fundamentally, I think are weaker than the dollar bear arguments overall. But bottom line, I'm going to be guided by the chart action here, and that low that we saw in the upward break that has occurred are significant technical developments. In terms of gold, while hopes or expectations of a further dollar recovery exist, that's a powerful headwind. A lot of people talk about gold being a good performer in deflationary times. I would be skeptical about that. It may well have relative performance, but it could still fall. I talked about Owen specifically a week ago, moved in and opened a long position in gold and silver and talked about how overextended it was. Absolutely right. Due for a technical rally. These patterns, in my view, in our view, cannot support more than technical rallies. The long-term outlook for gold in a fiat currency world, I think, is very, very attractive. But like any market, this will run ahead from time to time. We'll have particularly good gains, and that will lead to big shakeouts and long, lengthy consolidation periods. We're in a long, lengthy consolidation period. I think gold is in an accumulation zone when it's below the $800 level. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the low down at 750. Last week, or near 750, maybe if I'm too cautious on the dollar's upside or too bearish in terms of the dollar's upside, Maybe gold falls back temporarily to 700, and then I think it really would be a steal. But we're probably going to have to be patient here in terms of any significant recovery. But again, like all assets, and we've said this, certainly said this about gold and other precious metals, they are best purchased on the sharp setbacks, which occur periodically, and they should be sold on the upward accelerations. Again, that's a useful template for all these markets. Agricultural commodities, well, I'm a bit cautious in here given all the efforts to increase yields. But if you read the Browning newsletter, which I've posted today, there is plenty of well, there are plenty of unusual weather patterns around the globe. To put it mildly, you'll be well aware of that just from looking out your windows more often than not, and that can play havoc with crop cycles. So that's a wild card variable, but moderately good growing conditions around the globe, and I would expect bumper crops and commodities to fall, agricultural commodities to fall quite sharply. On the other hand, supply is always the key variable, and poor growing conditions, and we get explosive moves to the upside overall. This is having seen the big moves on the upside and the accelerated peaks that occurred in those markets. I personally feel generally a bit cautious. And voice limping along here, but I think I've covered most of the bases that I wanted to cover on markets. Maybe I haven't said enough on oil. My view is still that oil has seen a very significant medium-term peak. I think it'll range around here. The fact that it's down, well, I think we had a big bounce yesterday, up $6 or $7. It's down $6.50 right now as I speak. That's very much in line, I think, with this overall medium-term consolidation. I expect gold to move under $100 during this corrective phase, and that will be good news in terms of the next global economic recovery, which should be starting sometime in 2009, but I'd be thinking in terms of the latter half of 2009 rather than the earlier one. But there'll be a lot of events that will be relevant there. One of the crucial ones will be the swing in terms of central bank policies away from fighting inflation towards stimulating GDP growth. And as I've said recently, central banks love a good deflation scare. We certainly have that right now, and that's being reflected by the bond markets as well, and the weakness of precious metals. And the deflationary fears, which we last had back, as you'll recall, in 2001, 2002, even carrying into 2003 when the next recovery was gathering pace, but they allow central banks to bump up monetary policy to stimulate growth and asset appreciation without being too worried about a extensive spillover into wages. So that switch from the inflation battling rhetoric and the higher interest rates, I think we're getting quite close to it, to a terminal juncture there. Not all countries will do it at the same time, but Bernanke, I noticed today, in his statements, was talking about inflation subsiding. I would certainly agree with that in terms of the published figures. And the more we hear about inflation subsiding, and the more we see in terms of evidence of economic slowdown and recession, and the closer we are to the next decent stock market performance on the upside. We just have to be a little bit patient here, as you already know. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. Monday is a holiday here in the UK, so our next update in terms of comment of the day and on the audio will be Tuesday, the 26th of August. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.